The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is October 1st, 2015, and we are sponsored by Dr. William Wong's Essentials. That's www.docspreferred.com, Sorenex.com, 803-978-2253, extension 111. Both he and Dr. Wong are sponsors for me to go away, and we're going to have some announcements about that very shortly, too. The next one is Hearts Collision. This is for New York State residents only. Heartscollision.com. Lori and Al have been good friends of mine. As everybody knows, I'm training their son. 518-477-7937. Give them a call. Tell them we sent you. And also, too, our good friend Donnie Giafardino, www.adexclub.com. That's adexclub.com. Donnie came up with a hell of an idea. You talk about being creative. He had hurt his shoulder about 10 years ago, and they did want to go and operate. He opted not to. He'd been through every modality he could do, and he figured out a way to build an Indian club and unscrew the ends with weights. So he's got weights going from 2 to 25 pounds. He fixed his shoulder, and now he is manufacturing these gems. So he's sending me one. I can't wait to try it. He's got quite a few things to do to heal shoulders and just keep them real flexible, especially when, you know, you're using huge amounts of weight, whether you're pressing them and pulling stuff up off the ground and carrying them, you know, the shoulder girdles involved and everything. So go out to 8xclub.com and tell Donnie Eric sent you. Fiorello Barbell Co., top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. Once again, free ebook, download it, 10 paragraphs, make you think, make you commit, take action. The two big things coming down the road, I just did a bunch of filming for them. It's going to be Strength Times Power Equals Success in the Winner's Circle. These are our two biggest products up to date. I've got five more on the shelf ready to roll. These are going to be life-changing. These will fill a void in your life. If you're looking for something to guide you and give you some inspiration, these two things are going to work for you. Go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com and check them out. Chris right now is loading all the video. I did some great video with a lot of big backdrop on them. You're going to see a lot about where I train, and as we go down the road more and more, you'll see much, much more. So go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com. Of course, sponsorship's a big thing. $500 a month gets you 7 to 16 podcasts a week with us. You're announced. Everything about you is told in the beginning and the end of the show. And on the $500, 30 of it goes to muscular dystrophy. As everybody knows, this is what this whole enterprise is dedicated to, my brother Jimmy, who died of it at a young age as a teenager. And this time of year, these kids are very susceptible to common colds, which we kind of just, it's nothing. Well, it's deadly for them. So I wanted everybody to know, if you come aboard and advertise with us, sponsor us, not only are you going to be with us for a long time, we'll help each other build our brands, you're going to really be giving to something that can help some kids. And that's very important because these kids are true warriors. They always got a smile on their face. They know their time is short, but you know something? You'll get more out of them than most people. And I can tell you that definitely because I've been having a lot of strain with a lot of people lately. And when you go and see these kids, they'll put your life in perspective and you'll realize you can get through anything. So go out to Fiorello Barbell Co. or Motivation Muscle. Click on sponsorship. The page is there. Very easy to follow. You take various credit cards, obviously, and you can get on board with a real winner that's going places. And we're going to be around for a long time. So check that out. Today, we got every Thursday, we have Coach Rob Regish on with us. For those of you who aren't familiar with Rob, he's on Superhuman Radio every Tuesday from noon to 1. He's on the, he has his, it's called the Blueprint Power Hour. He's also, you can go out to CoachRobRegish.com, and he's got a plethora of not only tons of material to read, he does his own podcast now, so he gives you quite a bit with that. Obviously, he's a supplement maker, designer, whatever you want to call it there. Progenidrex is one of them. Synthogen and Tranquilogen are one. They're all out on Mass. I think it's mass.com is where you can get that those products. Well, not Progenidrex. That's different. But the other two you can get out on there. And he's been around in the strength field for a long, long time. So we're going to talk today about building a, you know, building a big bench, so to speak. Benching, you know, benching big. Rob, welcome to Motivation Muscle. Give everybody a little bit about yourself, and we'll get started.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's great to be back. You know, as you mentioned, I'm on every Tuesday on superhumanradio.com, the Blueprint Power Hour at noon. But more importantly, I'm here every Thursday, and we're talking about some of the best and most exciting topics. My website and all of my products and services is CoachRobRegish.com, and you want to be keeping an eye on that, not only because there's a lot of free stuff, there are free special reports, free podcasts, but also the Blueprint 4.0 will be debuting soon. And when I say soon, I mean 2 weeks or less. So keep an eye on that website. And 4.0 is going to be big. It's been 3 years now since 3.0 is out. So I've been working on something special, and hopefully folks will find it of value.
Good. That's a good thing. You know, we'll start things off a little bit. Benching has always been, I think a lot of people equate strength with benching. And benching's been around for a long time. Let's face it. And there's all various forms of benching now. You know, we got into the shirts and the suits and every other thing, and there's all these different styles of benching. But let's really talk about, you know, I want flat back on the bench, you know, feet on the floor. You know, if you're going to compete, you know, is it going to be white lights, red lights? Are you going to get the clap, whatever? But we also know a bench is very beneficial when it's done properly. It can build a lot of muscle on a frame. Why don't you just, Rob, just define benching in your eyes. So what you, you know, how you clarify it to the audience out here, what a bench press is, the way you think of it.
Yeah, well, the supine bench press, very simply, is, I'm sure most people are familiar with it, it's one of your three basic power lifts, and today, right, wrong, or indifferent, it's classified as the measure of upper body strength, mm-hmm. In a male or a female. Now, for my money, dipping is better, but be that as it may, I'm a realist, and the bench, as we're defining it here, is your traditional flat bench, where you're taking the bar at arm's length, lowering it to the chest, pausing for a second or two, and then driving it back up to full extension. Now, how I just defined it is a lot different than what you see in a lot of gyms across the United States. And, you know, through my travels, I have been in gyms from here to California and back, and I can tell you that very rarely does somebody perform a bench in the proper fashion. I've seen a lot of half reps.
Yep.
I've seen a lot of bouncing.
Yep.
And I've seen a lot of bridging.
Yep.
None of which is beneficial either to max strength or muscle growth. And in fact, I've seen some cracked sternums.
Yeah.
You know, and torn pecs. So I've seen some scary things.
Don't forget about when they drop it across their throat and kill them,
too. Oh, God. You know, yeah, thank you for bringing that up. Because I oftentimes assume that people are benching with a spotter.
Yeah.
If you're not, understand this. You can die from it.
Yeah.
People can and do die every year getting pinned under a bench press, and it's not a pretty thing.
No. Look, I've done it too. I've gotten pinned. You know, nothing's worse than trying to have to roll that thing down the front of your body.
Yeah, and unfortunately, a lot of guys touch higher up, you know, closer to their throat, and there's no rolling it down.
Nope. You suffocate or it'll break your windpipe. You know what I want to ask you too? I mean, obviously, we're going to go into the mechanics and the correct way to do it. See, we got into this yesterday. This is very interesting. We bring up the bench. Bill Hinber and I had a big show on Pat Casey. Pat Casey was the first gentleman to bench 600 pounds.
Yep.
And you know what was real interesting, Rob, when you think about this? I mean, we've come a long way with equipment. You see the rickety shit those guys were benching on and doing anything with, and it's amazing they didn't get killed, man. You know, but my God, you know, that's what we were talking about. Well, what was it? Well, I guess it was a lot of it was the raw determination. You know, in some ways, maybe a lot of them didn't know any better. And, you know, Bill was harking back to the days, you know, with benches where, you know, they'd be very crudely welded and you'd flip them over and, you know, they look, but they held together. It's not like today. I mean, you can go out, you know, you go to one of our sponsors, obviously Sorenex, and you can get beautifully crafted benches, you know, same way there's many of them out there like that. And you're not going to have the problems you had, you know, 40 years ago. Yeah. I mean, the benches are heavier and shit to even move, you know. But getting on to this, I mean, what do you think? I mean, was it the advent of powerlifting, you think, with all the equipment and the arching and the, and, you know, this wrap and that wrap and, you know, feet up off the ground and this and that? I mean, I think in a lot of ways that really destroyed the bench, because I think the bench done properly and, you know, in a uniform way and, you know, like you said, have proper spotters or have a power rack or something that can be there for you. What do you think happened, man? Was it just that, well, I know what happened. I think this is something I've been really hitting on hard lately. Everything's numbers now.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you do a nice, strict 400-pound bench. We'd rather see you go for an arching 475, you know, with it banging off your pecs and then just locking it out. So what do you think happened? Was it numbers or was it just the advent of a different athlete?
It's one word, brother, ego.
Yeah.
Ego. You know, numbers, your point, I guess, you know, by you saying numbers, you're really saying the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, a guy would much rather say, I can bounce heave 300 pounds.
Yep.
Then I can properly bench press 275.
Mm-hmm.
But let me make the following argument for you.
Okay.
By lowering the weight and bringing it down to your chest and pausing it for a count of two and then pressing up with some of the techniques that we'll discuss here, you are making a statement,
mm-hmm,
loud and clear, where if you get together with your friends and they're all quote-unquote benching 300 pounds, and you do it the right way,
mm-hmm,
it shows not only the fact that you know what you're doing, but it's showing your maturity,
yep,
as a lifter. You know, you're not living in some fantasy land, and your bench will get to 300, a legitimate 300, a lot faster than those guys that are bounce pressing.
Yeah.
So, yep, you know, understand there's a right way and a wrong way to bench. And you just don't want to get caught up in numbers and ego where you're bounce heaving, because the best case scenario is you'll be living a lie.
Yep.
The worst case scenario is you're going to get hurt.
Yeah.
And as somebody who has seen and heard a sternum cracked,
oof,
from a bounce press and a pec torn off, you do not want to go there.
Nope.
You do not want to go there.
You know, I think the appeal with the bench, too, I mean, let's face it, you see big numbers, people like laying on their back and pressing. I don't know why, but I used to love the bench, too. I rarely do it, you know, with what I'm connected with is usually overhead that helps me with my lifting more so.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, I'll tell you why I got away from that was this. You know, there's only a few things you're doing on your back, and we know one of them for sure. And it's like most of your stuff is done standing, you know, and I want to be very strong when I'm standing straight up or whatever I'm trying to pick off the ground or pick off and press. So I like, if I'm going to do benches, if I do anything, what I do is floor pressing now. I don't use a bench anymore. Yeah. In my garage, I have a couple power racks that are lagged right in the platforms, and obviously they're long enough where I can lay down. And, you know, obviously I do everything dead stop, and I do it. And I use one of those elite bars where it's got the three different phases of the bar. So you got outer,
yep,
middle, and inner. And I like to work the inner pecs. I also do outer pec work, but I do that when you're talking about tearing pecs. I have this apparatus we built outside to specifically use any size handle dumbbell, and it hangs, and basically you get under it, grab the dumbbell handle and press it. You get caught, you just crawl out from under it, and it just dangles. It goes nowhere. And the reason why I did that is because when I went to Iceland, I came up with a really brilliant deduction of the stone. The stone will try to always heave you forward. And for anybody out there that's ever tried to lift a big stone, the first area you're going to feel when that thing tries to go forward on you is going to be your pec insertions.
Yep.
And I was like, I don't need a ripped pec here, too. I've already torn a bicep. So I built this thing, and that's what I do for my pecs, are outers normally to strengthen that area. And when I really want to work the inner and the triceps real hard, I use that specialized bar. I'll tell you what, you use that, that will really put some big-ass beef on the on your inner pecs. And you want to get some nice triceps, too. You start loading that thing and blow that off pins. You know, write me and let me know, because I think you'll be very happy. But go ahead, Rob. I just thought, you know, I think there's a lot of good qualities of the bench press. But the idea of, you know, these guys, well, I got to have a 700-pound bench press, or I'm going for 1,000. That's all well and good if that's what you want to do. But I like to use the lift for something that's going to really use it as a strengthening factor, you know, and build, you know, pecs look great when they're built. I don't mean like having boobs either. I'm just saying, you know, good, strong looking, hard pectorals that are functional. That's how I do things now. Everything's functional now.
Yeah. You know, the bench really, it can be a fantastic lift. Unfortunately, guys end up chasing the wrong thing, and, yeah. What you should be chasing, to cut to the chase, so to speak, is strength.
Yep.
So the question becomes, you know, how do you get stronger on bench? Well, assuming that your form is there and your form is correct, there are a number of ways that you can get stronger on the bench. And unfortunately, guys limit themselves all too often. They'll get into a standard set rep spread, like a pyramid, let's say 10, 8, 6, 6.
Yep.
And they don't realize it, but one of the most powerful things that you can do is alter your grip on those sets. And I'll give you an example. If your bench is weak off of the bottom,
yep,
you take a slightly wider than normal grip. And I don't mean an exaggerated grip where guys got their hands out next to the damn plates.
No.
I'm just talking like your index finger on the rings.
Yep.
And push it out there. Now, you need to be careful on wide grip bench because you can, you know, pull or tear something there. But
yep,
that's the point on using it, for example, on your first set. Let's call it 10 reps.
Yep.
If you're having trouble with the lockout, that's largely your triceps, and that's a close grip. And
yep,
here again, you know, I hate it when guys will, you know, they'll take a grip where their hands are almost touching each other. You know, you need only grip the bar where the knurling ends,
mm-hmm,
such that you can work the triceps. And, of course, everything in the middle is speed,
yep,
which gets back to Louis Simmons and the West Side conjugate method. One of the best ways to work the bench is to have two sessions, one being a speed day and one being a max effort day.
Yep.
And on speed day, the prescription is largely 8 sets of 3 reps with 50% of your 1 rep max, 30 to 45 seconds in between sets.
Yep.
Now, important to note that you're moving the bar as quickly as possible. So this day is all about developing bar speed.
Mm-hmm.
The other day, you're using variations of a max bench, which is to say 1 to 3 repetitions, on everything from board presses where you're working just the top, let's say, 2 or 3 inches on lockout.
Yep.
To floor presses, which are great for the middle of the lift, where you're taking the bar off and you're coming down and the bar, your elbows are touching the ground.
Yep.
You're relaxing for just a bit and then pushing up. And then all variations in between. One of the best ways and most overlooked ways to work your bench press is to get inside of a power rack.
Yep.
And suspend the bar in chains.
Yep.
Now, what does this do and why is it superior to just putting it on pins? Well, most power racks have 2-inch hole spacings.
Mm-hmm.
This is far too much of a distance. You know, you lose so much leverage. And furthermore, you can never really set the bar up perfectly such that it's in the groove, because although you can manipulate it up and down, there is no side-to-side or forward and back sway.
Yep.
With the chains, there is. And you can make smaller increments of a jump simply by, you know, going down one chain link.
Yep.
So if you're going to do that, make sure that you're using heavy duty enough chains. You know, don't fool around with the swing set stuff.
Yeah.
You know, when you're working with hundreds and hundreds of pounds.
Yeah, the life you save will be your own, believe me.
Yeah. And so those are some ideas on how to max out your bench press, because it does become difficult after you're done exhausting your newbie gains and you're done pyramiding at 5 sets of 5.
Yep. So. Well, you know, let me ask you this. Do you feel how am I going to word this? Do you feel that, because everything, you look at everywhere, you know, the NFL combines, I know in high schools, all that stuff, how prevalent the flat bench is. But tell me honestly, do you really feel that is an indicator of body strength? Because that's a question I've asked other people. I get mixed reactions with it. I'll give you my answer if you really want to give me a straight up shot here. Is that, in your opinion, the extent of your body strength, a big bench?
That's an easy answer, and it's no.
I knew you'd say that. Okay, all right, then tell me this then. Why is it so popular? Why is it so popular to lay on your back and press a big weight? I don't care. I mean, look it. You said exactly what I said, no. All right, but to me, a squat or a deadlift or an overhead press to me is the man maker, the fountain of youth sitting there. I mean, what do you think, Rob? Give me a reason why the bench is so popular, number one. But tell me, what do you think? Just give me one lift you think that is the ultimate man maker, that if you came to me and said, oh, Eric, I want to see how strong you are, I'm going to have you do dink, and you show me what you got.
Short answer on that is deadlift.
There you go.
But the reason why the bench is so popular, there are a couple of reasons.
Okay.
Number one, it's a lot easier to lay on your back.
Yeah.
And lift a weight than it is to squat down with it.
Yep.
Or pull it off the floor.
I agree.
So let's examine why. When you're squatting or deadlifting or cleaning, which are excellent measures, much better measures of total body strength, or dipping for that matter.
Sure.
You are moving the body and the weight through space simultaneously.
Yep.
When you grind out reps on those lifts and you reach failure,
yep,
you're talking puke material.
Yep.
Because it really taps your inner reserve, and not just physically, but mentally as well.
Oh, yeah.
When you fail on the bench press,
yep,
there is no whole body fatigue like there is in a squat or a deadlift.
Agreed.
And frankly, you know, you miss the lift, your buddy peels it off of you,
yep,
or you know, the bar hopefully rests on safety pins and you crawl out from underneath it in the rack.
Yep.
So the answer to your question is, one, it's easier.
Yep.
It's easier. And it's also, I would say, easier to learn.
Yep. No, I agree. Yep.
You know, even though it ironically it's performed incorrectly, but it's simply a matter of it's not the gut check that the squat and the deadlift is.
No, you're right. And you know, when you're going to go that route with those two lifts, you hit it right on the head. I mean, you know, we know neurologically you're getting pegged. We know systematically you're really getting hammered, and bodily you are too, because it's going to hit you from head to toe, as we say here. And look, I'm not against the bench press. I like the way you talk about it. Obviously, we want to do it strict. And I mean, this is the next thing I want to go into. Let's go into the fundamentals of it, the correct way to learn, you know, that if you've never done it, or if you've done it and you've got shit form and you can't understand why your shoulders aren't working right anymore, you got pain in your elbows, yeah, et cetera, et cetera. Rob, if you're going to go into this, you know, wholeheartedly, and let's just say we're going to go with the typical hard gainer that hasn't done a lot of bench presses, that's a good lifter, but, you know, wants to really learn technique. Let's go with the 300-pound bench presser, which is an exceptional amount of weight to move. You know, if you're basing yourself off the top guys that are benching 1,000 pounds, you know, you're not going to get anywhere with it. Let's just talk about a strong individual that is going to go after a 300-pound bench press. How would you start them? What would be the auxiliary stuff you'd bring in? Because we know how important that is. We talked about chains. We touched upon that a little bit. Let's talk about overloading technique here. Let's just give them, the buffet here, so to speak, of how to execute, what to bring in with it to make it better, and do we want to be doing overloading? How's that sound?
Yeah, it sounds great.
Okay, let's hit it.
The first thing that I do with somebody that wants to bench big, yep, is I build a big back.
Yeah, absolutely. And lats.
A lot of people are going to scratch their heads, and they're going to say, why the hell is this guy training his back in preparation for the bench press? I have never seen someone reach their full potential in the bench press that doesn't have a fully developed back.
Totally.
And if you think about it, it just makes logical sense, because the back is it's the foundation.
The primer, whatever. Yeah, the absolutely.
Foundation of a large bench. It's also going to bulletproof your shoulders against problems. And let's face it, you know, 9 out of 10 injuries in the gym are shoulder injuries. They're by far the most prevalent.
Yep.
And a lot of it goes back to benching. Now, the other reason I want guys to build a thick, powerful back is this. The thicker that back is, the less distance that bar has to move.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think about it, if you watch a top bencher from the side, not only does he have, you know, a decent arch, now don't get me wrong, his glutes and his back are still nailed to the bench, and even his head in competition, but he has a thick, thick back.
Yep.
And this reduces the distance that the bar has to travel. So to answer your question, one of the first things I do is I make sure that they're doing a lot of vertical.
Yep.
But especially horizontal and mixed plane rowing.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, that's the best.
Yeah.
And in fact, I'll tell you a couple things I've noticed about bent rowing, because it's very beneficial, obviously, to lift stones. I'm in the process of writing an article about building arms, big arms, and I'll give a piece of it away right now, and I know you know it. Most people think you gotta sit there and curl till your eyeballs fall out. You wanna know how you really build some big biceps? Learn how to do bent rows. Whether you're gonna use a bar, an Olympic bar, standard bar, or a dumbbell, fat handle, whatever you wanna use. But you wanna see a set of biceps on you, start concentrating on it. You know what I've been doing too, Rob, lately, and we'll get right back to you with the back and everything. Last night when I worked out, I'm embarking on a very vigorous program called Knuckle Down right now. That's kind of like the Godfather to 533. And I've done this mainly to prove to people you can become very, very good at all different heights, angles of the power rack, which I've just started executing the first phase. And on the fourth workout, I go to one-sided training, which I think the world of, which I'm executing now, extremely heavy and big, and I'm going to have a lot about that. But I'm showing you how you can mate stones with a power rack and how not to kill yourself, overtrain yourself, how to vary things back and forth to get the best out of both worlds. I did a thing, though, last night in between my sets of rack pulls with the Husa Steel 1. And I did a thing where I just sat and curled lightly with a band between sets, and I took a big dumbbell. It wasn't any more than 50 pounds. Picked it up, dumped it behind my head, and pressed it straight up with both hands, you know, against the plate. So I had this arm and shoulder pump that was extreme. And I'd walk back in and I'd grab that stone and just massacre it, man. Because especially when you're lifting them heavier and heavier, you have to have an awful lot of jack through your arms, and especially in the bellies of the forearms, because you have to squeeze that stone or you can't get anywhere with it. Well, I'll tell you right now, anybody out there that's messing around, go out and try something like that in between your sets. Just, I use it as a diversion, too, because I hammered myself. I did from bottom position because I'm working on a specific weight to start with. I'm not talking work up to. I'm working on right now coming out of the chute on the first set of 507 pounds, which is a pretty big opening when you're coming out of the hole like that. But I don't want to deviate from this, but when you're talking about building big backs and all that, a lot of that stuff I was doing, but I just want to pass on to people. Sometimes it's good to just kind of pump an area up on you between sets. It kind of takes you out of the mix a little bit of it, and when you come back in to grab it, man, you're fully focused, very aggressive, and I went up to 350 pounds last night for five singles.
Wow.
And I had no trouble at all, all right? I mean, I know this is different from, but I like telling people this stuff, because I'm experimenting with a lot of things right now I haven't talked about. I'm working with somebody with this knuckle-down program, Eric Gutman, who worked on 533 and gained like 10 pounds in like 14 weeks with this program. And he's a 40-year-old guy, and it wasn't belly fat either. We're doing some pretty unique things. And I'm finding that I'm doing these different pump routines between it. And I'm not saying pump your goddamn arms up with 500 reps. I'm not saying that. Maybe do 25 or 50, same way what I do with that tri stuff. But you got to immediately go in and grab whatever object you're screwing with. And I'm telling you right now, go out and try this. Anybody out there that's going to listen to this podcast, I guarantee you, I want feedback from it. If you got it, you know, you go out to Fiorella Barbell at NICAPRR.com. Tell me what's going on. I'm telling you right now, last night was quite an experience. So I didn't mean to cut you off, but I just, it's, I don't know. I just like giving people stuff like that to try.
No, those are good tips. Those are
real, yeah, thanks.
You know, to get back to benching, though, one of the mistakes that I see made over and over is people's feet just all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, you need to realize that a lot of your power in the bench press, believe it or not, comes from your legs.
Yep.
And so they should be planted flat on the ground. And so, you know, practicing that, or at least being cognizant of it, is one tip that can up your bench press. Mm-hmm. Another one is, you ever see a lot of times guys will hold the bar way back in their hands.
Yep.
It's almost like they're riding a motorcycle.
Yep.
You know, and they're cocking the throttle.
Yep.
You want that bar directly in line with your wrists.
Mm-hmm.
Because when it's cocked back in the hands, even, you know, a couple inches,
yep,
you're losing just a tremendous, tremendous amount of power. Another tip that can help guys get a bigger bench is, a lot of guys stall on the lockout.
Yep.
Because the bar is in the wrong place. So what you want to do sometime is take an empty bar and lie on a freestanding bench. And at arm's length, you hold that bar and you move it in an arc from a position above your waist to a position behind your head. At some point in that arc, the bar is going to feel completely motionless.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you need to lock the bar out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for a lot of guys, you know, it's going to be different for different people just because their biomechanics are different. But a lot of times you see guys moving the bar in a kind of a J-hook position.
Yeah, yep.
Understand that if that becomes exaggerated, it's indicative of weak triceps.
Mm-hmm.
And the triceps are some of the prime movers in the bench press. So I would say if you're going to train a supplemental and or accessory lift after you train bench press, really work your triceps hard.
What do you feel is if you had to pick a movement, what would you pick, Rob?
I like, in addition to the close grip bench press, I like heavy lying tricep extensions.
Oh, me too.
I think those build a tremendous amount of strength. I like seated overhead dumbbell extensions.
Yep.
With two hands on the heaviest dumbbell you can find.
Right. That's what I was doing
and,
last night.
I like rolling tricep dumbbell extensions.
Okay. Okay.
And picture, you have dumbbells at arm's length, and the hands are facing each other, which is to say the palms are facing each other, pronated.
Okay. Yep.
And you lower the dumbbells down to your shoulders, and at this point, instead of pressing them back up, you bring the elbows back closer to the ears.
Yep.
And then you press up.
Yep.
This builds a tremendous amount of tricep strength and lockout strength. But the triceps, not the pecs or the shoulders, should be the primary muscle group that's trained as an accessory or supplemental lift.
Yeah, and you made that great comment with the back, and I laugh because, I mean, we've talked about this before. You got to have the back, and obviously you got to have the arms and all that, because turn to the side and see if you look like you've got nothing there, you know, like a bird cage, or you're thick as a brick all the way back. You know, it's like that. It almost looks like the back of the tricep is connected to, you know, your lat pretty much. And, you know, well, a big thing with bench, and we know lats. Do you want to touch upon that at all? I mean, we've hit the back, but we know how imperative the lats are, because if you usually do a bench correctly, you should be able to even push off them slightly with your elbows, so to speak.
Yeah.
What's your feel on the lats? I mean, how do you feel that? I mean, I'm with you 100%.
Yeah.
The back is major with everything. But do you feel that the lats should be developed as much as they possibly can to really blow an enormous bench up?
Absolutely. And that's why I start guys with back training.
Yeah.
Even before we bench. Now, a lot of guys are a little more advanced than that. They're already off to the races on the bench.
Sure.
I can only tell you that it is imperative that you perform rep for rep and set for set a pull or a row for every bench that you're doing. Because
do you ever match them up, Rob? Do you ever, like, say you train somebody chest and back that day, maybe start them out with five sets of five with a bent row, and then we go to the bench and do whatever you want to do for the day. Say you're going to work at 80% and we do five sets of five. Do you ever get in anything like that flip-flop back and forth or not?
Yeah, we have two different days.
Okay.
One day, and it's kind of a more of a hypertrophy day, but you'll do a set of bench presses immediately, and you'll go into a set of one-arm dumbbell rows.
Awesome. Yeah, excellent.
So, you know, your fail-safe method to match it rep for rep and set for set.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, you should be training with some heavy-ass weight on those rows.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because the back is a huge muscle group. You know, do not baby it.
Yep.
Do not baby it. Now, on other days, when we're going for a max single, then yes, you know, we're performing our, let's say, four to six sets of bench presses based off of a percentage modality. But I'm very, very careful after the benching work is done to now go perform some rows.
Okay.
And they're not an afterthought. I you know, it's guys pigeonhole themselves all too often into something like the lat pull down.
Yep.
Lat pull down is a joke compared to the pull up or the chin up.
Yep.
And furthermore, you should be rowing on three different planes. In addition to a vertical plane, like a pull down or a chin up, you should be rowing horizontally, like a one arm dumbbell row.
Mm-hmm.
Because rough rule of thumb, vertical rows build width, horizontal rows build thickness.
Mm-hmm.
It's the thickness that you really want. And then there are mixed plane rows like the T-bar row.
Yep.
And the seed the cable row.
Yep.
Those are excellent movements, and do not be afraid to experiment with things like heavy partials on the seated cable row.
Okay.
Because you can build a tremendous amount of lat strength, and you really need to. You know, this goes back a ways, but when Ted Arcidi set the world record in the bench at 705,
yep,
it was kind of a watershed moment. And I, you know, I'm from Massachusetts, lived there most of my life. Arcidi was somewhat of a local character because he was from New Hampshire.
Okay.
Now, he used to come down and guest lift at some meets in Connecticut.
Yep.
And I was in college when this happened, but I had a friend tell me once, he said, you could have a picnic on Ted Arcidi's back.
That's awesome.
I thought he was joking until I met Ted Arcidi. The man's back was enormous, absolutely enormous, and he would not hold that world record bench if it were not for that back.
Yep.
And he told me so.
Yep.
So, you know, what when you're approaching someone like that about, you know, Ted, how can I maximize the gifts that I were given to bench big?
Yep.
When Ted Arcidi looks you square in the eye and he says, work your back hard, it sticks with you.
Yeah. Well, you know something, too? There's never enough emphasis on back work. We know that. I mean, this is the rub with the bench, and this is where I think the bench went the wrong way in a lot of ways. When I started out, even a lot of my friends, you know, there's two things they cared about, how big your pecs were and how big your arms were.
Yeah.
Right? And there used to be this guy in the gym. I went to this great gym called the Steel Pier. It was hardcore as hell, man. And, you know, we were always in trouble because we were like wise guys with everybody, because we used to get our ass beat at the YMCA by the older guys, because we'd be like smart Alex with them all the time. And I remember this guy. I'm not going to give his last name, but his name was Rodney. And he had a big-ass upper body on him, and we used to laugh because they used to call him chicken legs, right?
Yeah.
This guy... And it was funny because he could squat pretty heavy, right? But he never had any meat on his legs. But that dude, he had the biggest pecs and arms you ever saw in your life, right? And he was always in the tanning booth. And when we were probably about 12, or maybe 12 years old, maybe 13 max, and he was probably 25 years old at least, right? And, you know, he'd walk in. Like, you know, the typical guy with a stick up his ass, you know, because he can't bend anywhere. And, you know, he'd get into his bench routine and the whole deal. And that's what they used to call him, chicken legs. I never forgot. And when you start talking about, you know, we started talking about that with the pecs and the shoulders and the arms and all that shit. That's what it was. And I was like, that's all well and good, man. But, you know, when you got this big upper half, and you walk in, and it's like, where'd the lower half go? You know, it is kind of comical. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It
really gets to this issue.
Yeah.
If you really want to bench big.
Yep.
And you want to develop your power to the utmost, you need to squat.
Absolutely.
And again, that sounds, you know, it sounds odd, but. There's an old saying in this game. It goes like this. Weight moves weight.
Yep.
There's a reason why the super heavyweights bench heavier than the lighter guys.
Yep.
They have more total muscle mass. Yep. And how do you get more total muscle mass? You work the biggest, strongest muscles in your body, which are the legs, the glutes, of course, and the back.
Yep.
And you do that by squatting big and deadlifting big. I never knew a guy that reached his bench potential that didn't have big, strong, powerful legs. Big, strong, powerful.
Rob, do you bench any? I mean, do you do much bench-wise anymore? What are you up to, like, with stuff like that?
I don't. You know, my days benching are over.
Yep.
Simply because I value my long-term shoulder health.
No, I agree. Yeah.
And it was getting to a point where the amount of weight that I was moving was starting to bother my shoulder. So, you know, it begs the question, what's a good alternative if you don't want to bench?
Right.
And the answer there to me is it's all about heavy weighted dips.
You know, you hit it because there again, we were talking about Pat Casey and Marvin Eater yesterday.
I mean,
two of the most incredible dipping people ever that existed. I agree with you. I think dips, if you know, once again, it's another thing. You know, people say to you, well, if you do dips there, you can hurt yourself, blah, blah, blah. It's the same way we were talking yesterday about the old Nautilus four-way neck machine I got out there. And, you know, everybody's like, you can break your neck with that. I said, well, that's not the object out there, obviously. It's like anything. If you know, we just went over this about properly executing a bench press. If you know how to execute things, there's going to be far fewer things that are going to go wrong. And everybody's just so down. You know, look, I think dips, like everything, dips are hard to do. Let's not screw around. Now, you know, you weigh over 200 pounds. I weigh 300 pounds, all right? That's a lot of body girth to move on, on dipping, okay?
Yeah.
And then if you're going to tie a big toe chain around your waist and start using added weight, let's face it, okay? But I enjoy them. Now, I do them here. I've told everybody. We got 4x4 wood lagged right into my garage wall, and they're low because the one thing I noticed with dips, which were a real pain in the ass, was you'd always have to climb up on something with the weight dangling between your legs, and, you know, your jewels are right by there. And I can't tell you how many times I got pinched down around there and all that.
Yeah.
Plus, I didn't like having to step up and start like this. This thing, you walk right into it, and you're right set up. You got to get up on the 4x4s. Plus, you're getting good grip work, and you get a hell of a push-off with it.
Yeah.
And yes, I totally agree with you. But I do believe dips are too goddamn hard. That's why you don't see them anymore.
Yeah, well, it gets back to what I was talking about before. Dips are a level 7 movement, which is to say you're moving the body and the weight through space.
Yep.
Simultaneously. And it has been said, and I believe it's true, and this is true for pullovers too, dips are almost the equivalent of the upper body squat.
Without a doubt.
Because you cannot perform a dip without simultaneously maximally contracting your back as well. And if you doubt this, you know, watch some heavy dipper sometime. Or, you know, just perform it yourself and just feel the way your back, your lats squeeze together.
Oh, yeah.
Stop the movement. So it's a fantastic alternative in its own right, but I'll also say this. It's a great supplemental lift for the bench press. And you can, you know, you can tweak it to emphasize more of the pecs and sometimes more of the triceps. But any way you slice it, you work hard on the dip, your bench will go up.
And Rob, you know, you can make a living just on dip squats and pullovers if you want to.
Oh, yeah. As I get older, I work on more of, let's say, consolidation routines.
Sure.
Because you only have so much time and energy, right?
Yep.
Why waste it doing tricep kickbacks and crap like that? You know, big basic lifts like
sissy boy shit.
Right. Big basic lifts for the upper body include, you know, the bench press, the dip, the pullover. You know, movements like this work a tremendous amount of muscle mass, and you should pour yourself into those before you even consider the smaller lifts. And at age 45, I don't see myself doing them anytime soon.
Well, what you've done, though, you're not losing a bit going and doing those three. You know, there's a lot of things now I look back. You know, everybody wants to do the same thing everybody's doing, but, you know, there's nothing like experience as a teacher, because I've talked about how much admiration I have now for carrying things in front of you and bear hugging them. I think that I would have been a much better athlete if I knew this 20 years ago, sure. 25 years ago. And then secondly, bench press has its place. I understand it. I know a lot of people think it is the ultimate strength shower, so to speak. You know, egos we talk about, but, you know, well, how much can you bench? How many times have people asked you? How many people ask you how much do you squat? 1% maybe, if you're lucky, okay? All right, so we know what that brings, Rob, but the thing is with the dips and the pullovers and, you know, the bent rows, these are – a lot of these lifts have been lost. I mean, how many people do you even hear bring up a bent row? You and I talk about it, maybe a few other people. You don't hear much about a bent row, which is a fabulous, fabulous exercise. It's like the good morning, too. Another exercise that you never hear about is falling out of favor, and I discovered these – either trying them or talking with Bill Crawford, that, you know, with the dedication to stones, there's certain movements that he found that really, really accentuated his stone lifting and what he felt allowed him to go to Iceland and other places around the world and become very proficient and successful at what he did. So I think that, you know, the movements you're doing now, I mean, Christ, a dip, I mean, you could put mass weight on a rake, you know what I mean, with good heavy dipping. Same way with pullovers, you know, if you're careful. You know, there's things that you can do, like you take a month off and just do those two things. That's it. You're not going to lose anything on your legs or anything like that. Switch back to your conventional work, your bench. I mean, your bench will probably go up 10, 15 pounds, you know?
You're absolutely right.
Yeah. Let's give everybody, we start a little bit with like just a routine and stuff. We know that, you know, let's go with an intermediate lifter here. What would you feel the best rep ranges are for mass? We start talking about explosiveness, obviously, because you got to build a lot of speed with a bench. But if we're going to train the bench, and I don't know if you want to bring in partials or whatever, just give everybody out there just a short description and some reps, if you would, please.
For my money, 5 sets of 5, it's hard to go wrong with.
Yep.
Because you're going to build mass and power with it.
Yep.
As you get more focused, let's say, on your one rep max, that's when programs like Jim Wendler's 5-3-1 is an excellent program. Some of the routines that you can take out of Powerlifting USA what I'm referring to here are percentage-based loading patterns.
Yep.
And, you know, not to toot my own horn, but we have a collection of the best loading patterns in the blueprint that it's a beautiful thing, because you take your one rep max, you punch it into an Excel spreadsheet, you hit enter, and it spits out every weight, set, and rep to do for the entire program. Now, I don't know about most people, but I don't like guessing.
No.
I like knowing what weight to lift and how many times and having that goal going into the gym. Now, I will also say this, at least for power's sake, reps above 10 are a waste.
Mm-hmm.
They never served me well. Heavy weight is defined as weights in the 90th percentile between your 1 and 3 rep max.
Yep.
Really pay dues down the line. Now, you can't perform those for more than 3 weeks at a stretch, or you'll experience central nervous system disinhibition and you'll actually go backwards.
Yep.
But what I'm telling you is working heavy in that rep range, and let's say up to 5 reps, anywhere between 1 and 5, is going to serve you exceptionally well. And I was telling one of my trainees the other day this. He's 16 years old.
Yep.
You will never regret building a razor-sharp central nervous system with heavy weights and low reps.
Absolutely.
Never, never, never. And the reason for that is when you're 30 years old, 40 years old and older, you're going to walk into gyms, and let's say you weigh 200 pounds.
Yep.
You're going to meet a lot of 200-pounders that they're as big as you are. In some cases, they'll be more conditioned or even bigger, but they're not as strong.
No, exactly.
They don't have the underlying physical constitution and central nervous system that you have and you've built, and that's something that's earned. That's something that's earned over time. And you would be well served then to work on that for years and years and years. So I don't know about most people, but I got nothing out of high reps. I got a lot out of low reps, and most of your time should be spent, in my opinion, at 8 reps or below on the bench press.
Absolutely. So we've got kind of what we need to start with a routine, and obviously we'll go into auxiliary lifts, and we touched upon that, so we can hit the dips, pullovers. Obviously, the bent rows is real essential here. We've got a squat. If you want a deadlift, that's up to you. But, you know, you made a good point. We talked about flip-flopping back and forth between a bent row and a flat bench press.
Right.
That's always something to encounter, to remember to build that back as thick as you can. If you want to basically go after the triceps on their own, there's various things we talked about, you know, the dumbbell behind the head. I know a lot of people like to do skull crushers, they call them, tricep extensions laying on your back. But I think, I like putting something big over my head and pressing it, but I still think the close grip bench press, when executed properly, man, you can put massive amounts of beef on you. So, I mean, we've given you a few things like that. Rob, what else you got? Is there anything else you want to add to it?
There's one more lift that I think is way overlooked, and guys can benefit from dramatically.
Okay.
And that is the decline bench press.
Yeah.
For the simple reason that you can handle absurd amounts of weight.
Yeah.
And it gets you in the habit of building a strong lockout with the triceps.
Yep.
And why?
Yep.
Because it's the opposite of that J-hook that most guys have when they bench.
Yeah.
They're pushing the weight down and away from their body. Yep. So to the extent that you can work your close grip decline bench press and work it hard with really, really heavy weights,
yep,
that's going to benefit you tremendously on the bench press.
No, I agree. You know who's a big proponent of it is when he was on the show last is Wade Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
He's a big proponent of declines, big time. He speaks volumes about them. That's interesting you said that. You know, the thing is, I don't have a decline bench. You know, I don't even think about it anymore, but it is a great movement. But, I mean, everything here is going to build you a screaming upper body. I mean, you could have the biggest bench press you ever did if you pay note to this. What else you got, Rob? Is there anything you want to summarize? If not, give all your information. I'll give mine, and just hang on the line if you would, please.
Yeah, sure. You know, to summarize, build yourself a solid bench by starting out with good form. Now,
yep.
Don't live a lie. Don't fool yourself by performing half benches or bounce presses.
Yep.
Tighten up your form and work on exploding the bar speed. And do that by having both a speed day and a heavy day.
Mm-hmm.
Vary your heavy movements by using variations of the bench press. Use 3 different grips when you do bench. And by all means, look into loading patterns if your bench does get stuck.
Yep.
We have many of those in the blueprint, and there is no guesswork. There is no guesswork. They put on anywhere from 5 to 10% or more on your bench press per cycle. And while that might not sound like a lot, you know, for your 300-pound benchers out there, it
yep.
gets you to 315 and 6 workouts.
Yeah, that's the thing.
And that's just the first loading pattern.
So they can get it at everything at CoachRobRegish.com?
Right, they can get it at CoachRobRegish.com. The best deal there, frankly, is the subscription to the Blueprint Bulletin. It's all of 50 cents a day or less if you're, if you're interested in subscribing annually. You will get all of the loading patterns that I've discussed here and more. And think about it. You stack half a dozen of those together.
Oh, yeah.
I have seen guys in 6 months' time put over 100 pounds on their bench press.
Yeah, because the nice thing about them, you got to change constantly. You got to do, you know, your body's never going to get stale because it's not doing the same thing over and over and over. And then, you know, everybody likes to use that word, but it is true. You end up getting overuse injuries, and then you got problems. You know, that's our. You got to. I know. I think we told everybody in the beginning too. Are you doing a podcast every day on your site?
It's not every day, but it's let's call it weekly. I call it Muscle University.
Okay.
And there are some really there are some tremendous free tips and tricks on there, similar to what we've discussed here.
Are you doing that on your own, just by yourself, or are you having people come on?
Yeah, just doing it on my own, and it's something that, like I said, is free and free for everybody. So if you want to visit over there weekly, we'll have a new episode posted. It's largely me answering questions from listeners. So all means, if you have a question, you can submit it to me at theblueprintarmy@gmail.com.
Nice. Yeah. Hey, there's a lot of people that need information, and there's a lot of people that are looking for it, and that's a good place to go. You know, it's good to have people that you go to. You know, you can fill that void in their life because there's so many people out there searching for answers, and you know, they hit a brick wall and they just don't know where to go. And unfortunately, a lot of them just quit. And that's unfortunate. When you put years or time into something that you think that you really enjoy and then you just can't get anywhere, you know, that's not a good thing when you can't find what you want. So don't forget to go over to Rob's site at CoachRobRegish.com. You got anything else, Rob?
No, I'm done pimping. I just want to say thank you, you know, for having me here. It's this show is, I think, by far the single best wealth of information and resources available on the web to hardcore lifters, and it's free.
Yeah, and this show, I'll tell everybody, is growing exponentially. Last week was our year anniversary. It's going to grow much bigger. We've got, when I get off this call today, for anybody that loves Highland Games, I don't know 100% till I get the yes, but it looks like we got Matt Vincent locked down. For anybody that gets Milo Magazine this past month, Dan McKim won. He beat Matt, I think, by a point. Matt, Dan will be on the show in October. He's all locked up. We got him on last week. Unfortunately, we had Peter Martin and that, the great stone historian from Scotland, and Peter passed away last Friday night, and I talked to him, believe it or not.
No.
Friday. Yeah. We had talked to him. I've been going back and forth through correspondence with him for like the last month, and he was very excited about coming on the show. He had sent me some of his new manuscript, which I have here, which I can't tell you. It'll be something I'll treasure forever. 2 weeks ago, Friday, he had a heart attack. They got him in quickly. He didn't look like it had any his heart didn't have any damage. They released him shortly after, a few days, I believe, after. He contacted me last Friday. We emailed back and forth. We locked up a date for the end of October. I had talked to Bill Crawford on Saturday and said, you'll never guess, Peter Martin's definitely coming on. And he said, I got bad news for you. And I was like, what? He says, Holly is Bill's wife. We're trying to verify. The word is that Peter died last night. I was like, I can't believe it. I just talked to him twice in the afternoon via email. He said, we're going to find out. I'll let you know. He got back to me, and we lost a giant last weekend, last Friday night. And to show you how much class his family has, his daughter Michelle, who I don't know from a hole in the wall, emailed me, I believe it was on Monday or Tuesday of this week, and said, Eric, I just want to let you know that my father passed away, and I knew he was going to do a show with you, and I wanted to let you know so you wouldn't be wondering. Wow. I thought that was very nice, man. What a classy girl, and I sent her back a very nice note And I told her how not only do I feel for her loss, how much her father meant to the strength and stone world, and how I really was looking so forward to talk to him. But we lost another giant last Friday night. And Peter, rest in peace. And I hope you're up there with all the guys talking shop, because I hope in another 50 or 60 years I'll be joining you. So, you know, I want to thank him for everything he's contributed, and I hope his family's all right. So, yeah, we lost a giant with him.
Yeah. It just goes to show you, folks, you never know.
No, you don't. You don't. And you know something? You know, I've been doing this more and more with my business and everything. You know, live every day, man. Like just push yourself no matter what, because you know, you might not get up tomorrow. You might end up like Peter. You know, here I am going back and forth with him Friday afternoon, and he dies on Friday night. I mean, it was really eerie when we were talking about it. So,
isn't that amazing? You just spoke with him.
Yep. And we had cemented in a date and everything. So, you know, when things are out there in front of you, take advantage of them and do the best you can with them. Because you know, leave something. This guy left something big. I mean, I've been sitting here for the last couple of days reading his book he did with Steve Jack, who was on not that long ago, of Stones and Strength. You want to learn about all the famous stones? You can get it right from ironmind.com. You know, go out there and you can order it right off there. Classic book. It's got everything in it. But this is Motivation Muscle. This is a podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We are sponsored by Dr. William Wands Essential, www.docspreferred.com, Sorinex.com, 803-978-2253, extension 111. Don't forget heartscollision.com, 518-477-7937. As I said, that is for New York residents only. Our good buddy Donnie, www.adexclub.com. That's ADEXclub.com. I can't wait to get this club and start doing his whole shoulder routine. That's going to be a lot of fun. And Donnie was great last week. Awesome guy. Obviously, too, you go out to FiorellaBarbellCo.com, top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. Check it out. Go for it. Strength times power equals success. Winner's Circle, the two biggest products and the best stuff I've done to date. But I got news for you. The other stuff sitting there is just as big, and we are going to take that database of the Winner's Circle and blow that thing wide open. Obviously, sponsorship is vital to the show continuing and growing, and obviously your business will grow big, big too. Like I said, 7 to 15 to 16 podcasts a week. I'm working 7 days a week. I'm working my ass off to make this dream come true. And we're going to have over 1 million people listening to the show. I have to talk to some people about some things with this show. It could go a lot of different ways right now. If it stays the way I'm going to have it, the potential of this thing getting super huge is very, very real. So we'll see what happens with that. Obviously, those two products, we're just waiting for Chris to put the video all together. So check that out. As I was saying, sponsorship, Fiorella Barbell Co. or MotivationMuscle.com. It's $500 a month, and as I said, $30 of that goes to flu shots for the kids with muscular dystrophy who we support totally. And you know, there's no foolishness. Everything is going legit. We want everybody to know that we are the real deal, and we are behind these kids 100%. FiorellaBarbellCo.com, MotivationMuscle.com, iTunes and Stitcher, give us a 5-star, man. Everybody's doing that. I thank them for that. That's all going to contribute to us getting bigger and better. Bigger. We're out in the European market now. We're all over the place in the world now, and I thank everybody for that. Let's see. If you want to get a hold of me or you'd like Rob and I to do a specific show, that's FiorellaBarbell@NICAP.R.com. Facebook, Fiorello Barbell, Motivation Muscle, Twitter at Fiorello Eric. And I'll leave you with this. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, don't be afraid to give them your time. Words have big meaning. As you hear with Rob and I today, you know, we're talking about some pretty serious stuff here, ways to make yourself very big and strong, and at the same time, you get to become a teacher too. That's real important. Secondly, as my mom said when we were kids, don't be afraid to say hello to somebody or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. There's tons of truth to that, so explore it. Don't be afraid of it. Thirdly, go out and lift some big chunks of iron or take some stones and turn them into dust. And last but not least, as our new Hoos of Steel stone here, the Crusher, is one of those stones that we covered in, it's basically rubber. So if it hits the ground, it's not going to get much damage to it. But the biggest thing is it's got domination written on both sides in blood red. We are definitely domination. We are over a million strong. We're not following a path. We're clear-cutting a path, believe me. And I want everybody to come along. And remember this, nobody, and I repeat, nobody will ever clip our balls. Remember that. We are pure, pure testosterone. We go for everything. So, Rob Regish, thanks for being on the show, sir.
Thanks for having me. Love it.
Okay, that's what everybody says, man. I had Mike Gillette on here. And Mike calls me the battery. He's like, I talk to you. He goes, I'm like nuts when I get off the show. He said, it's just like your firepower all the time. So, Mike Gillette, I thank you for that, too. But we'll be talking to you soon. Rob will be on next Thursday with me. I'm sure we'll have another toe-tapping, fist-pumping, I don't know, run-through-a-wall show. That's the way I look at everything now. Go out and have a little fun. You know, as I say, be a steward of strength. Don't sit on the sideline and suck your fucking thumb. All right, everybody, have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.